A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Being satisfied isn't good enough, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
Pete completes the foursome.
I was in quite a bad mood until the music started, and now I'm in a jubilant mood. So that is the power.
Said all our listeners.
Hey, didn't they just? Now, Joey Barton mentioned before Manchester City versus QPR on the weekend that there were one or two bad eggs in the QPR squad.
A bit rich. Very rich.
Well, how would you identify a bad egg or eggs in your squad, Jim?
Well, something I don't think we see enough of these days is old school witch hunts. Like, you know, sort of the dunking test, all those different things. So I just do that on my squad. And I mean,
if he floats, he's a bad egg. If he sinks, he's a right back.
Absolutely, yeah. And no, I think being manager of the squad, I'd already know who the bad eggs were. I'd have had an entire season to work that out by now. So I just use it as an excuse to put them all through it.
Well, do you think when Joey Barton said that, then Chris Ramsey was like, "Oh, you could have let me know."
Yeah, I'll line up the gunge tank.
Gunge. Right, Luke, what are you going for?
I think what I would do is, in the midst of a passionate team talk where I made a lot of concise, really motivational points, where I got all the players nodding with me, and we go from the first whistle, we work hard for each other, everyone nodding, and we pass to our mates, and we look after ourselves, and we work hard for each other, and children should be in the workhouses, and if they carried on nodding, you'd know they're a bad egg.
Yeah.
So basically you drop a horrific political opinion in there that belongs in Victorian times, and if the players that keep nodding, you know they're the bad eggs.
Right, they're just nodding away.
Flush them out.
They're the yes men.
Because they're not actually listening to what you're saying.
Well, they're either not listening, or they do genuinely believe that. Either way, they're bad eggs.
Correct. Smoke them out. Good. Pete?
I would probably just look at their contracts for each individual player and see if Willie Mackay at any point was a cross-signatory to any of the contracts.
Just file for bankruptcy, unfortunately, Willie Mackay. Spare a thought.
Good.
Right, that's enough. Carry on.
Or I would maybe get like a really solid player that I know, you know, works for me, like sort of Clint Hill or something like that, and then get one of my suspected bad eggs and then ask them to the same question.
Yeah.
And one will tell the truth and one will always lie. So then I'll use that test. I forget how the test works. I'd have to Google it.
Just on the Willie Mackay thing, people would suggest that there's a link between Harry Redknapp being out of the game and Willie Mackay filing for bankruptcy.
Yeah, it's weird that.
We couldn't possibly comment.
I'd put them all in boiling water.
Yeah, all of them?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the first two out are the bad ones.
See whose shell comes off.
Eat them both.
Whoever cracks first. Yeah.
Soft shell players.
Only 2 more minutes and 45 seconds.
We're dying.
Yeah.
Well.
That one time where they would be desperate for the whistle.
Excellent. I think Luke's got the points.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no bother. Cool. Let's go to the Premier League. It seems like a sensible place to start. Everton lost at home to the mighty Sunderland.
That's not sensible, is it?
No.
It wasn't from Everton. What a win,
though. Very silly decision from Everton to do that.
A vital win for Sunderland.
It was vital, but Everton were a little bit unlucky. And I think even Dick Avocat said, oh, we weren't really the better side.
Danny Graham scored a peach.
Was that his first goal for Sunderland? I think it was his very first goal for Sunderland, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And he's been there, what, 2 years, is it now?
Has he? Wow.
Something insane like that.
He's not been prolific, put it that way.
No. That's 2 weeks on the trot that Sunderland have carved out lucky results.
Bitter.
How is that bitter? They're in exactly the same position as Newcastle.
You support Newcastle.
And that's why you're bitter.
Yeah. Everton were short of a penalty, I thought, as well.
Yeah.
When Defoe failed. Was it Coleman?
Yeah, it was Coleman.
A deflection-heavy win.
they were really lucky last week as well. I mean, you'd rather have a lucky general than a good one.
Yeah.
And really, Avocat, he's loving it. He's all smiles, whatever happens.
Yeah.
But they were very lucky against Everton.
I mean, the thing is, though, it is a case of making your own luck. Beforehand, you know, they weren't having the wayward shots to deflect off of people's limbs.
That's true, yeah, that's true. The thing is, though, I don't know if you guys know what I mean when I say this, but this season, Everton have been a team that you can get lucky against, if you know what I mean.
They've not,
bar the odd result, of course, had a good result against Manchester United, and they've had a few, they went on a bit of a run fairly recently, but generally they've not really been at it, and they've not been consistent, they've not been any way impressive.
Yeah.
And so that is the sort of result perhaps you would expect to happen at the stadium a lot. It was a bit of a surprise that happened at Goodison, admittedly.
It's been a weird season for them, is it? Because it's been a season to forget without it being particularly bad. It's just a season of treading water, really.
Everton do that from time to time, don't they?
They do, don't they?
I remember, didn't they finish 17th under Moyes once?
A few times, I think. But that's the thing. If you're a club like Everton with a small budget, part of it is going to be occasionally just hanging on in there. If they generally punch above their weight, as they so often do, then seasons like this are going to happen.
Mm. Did Defoe handball it for the goal?
I, you know what? Even having seen that at multiple angles, I'm still not actually sure.
I didn't see the Defoe possible handball, and I also didn't see the Avocat scarf situation. Is he still wearing one?
I don't think he was wearing one.
Okay, right. No.
He certainly wasn't wearing one for the post-match.
Right.
I can't remember about the game itself. But the Defoe goal initially to me looked like it came off his thigh, but Marcus, you said it came off his thigh and then his hand.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. But he also lifts his hand up, so it's hard to tell whether that's in reaction to it hitting him or because he's trying to get it out of the way of the ball.
Right, okay.
It's interesting, because if it did hit his hand, which I think it did, people would say, well, it shouldn't have been a goal then.
Mm.
But if that's a defender in the box, defending a shot, you'd say, well, it's ball to hand, it's fine, it shouldn't be given.
It certainly wasn't deliberate. Well, as far as I'm aware,
the law says a deliberate handball, but it's such a grey area, though, because that's what you see defenders now putting their hands behind their back when they're trying to track a fullback.
Well, Crystal Palace.
Yeah, which...
Although he did lean in...
Yeah, that was Scott Dan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But the thing with the hands behind the back defending technique, I think, is only really worth doing when you're further away from the defender.
Mm.
Because if you're very close, it not only impinges on your ability to move and turn, but it also... The referee's unlikely to give it. I mean, this proximity to the ball when it's struck does very much counter into a referee's decision. So if you're very close to the defender, you're tracking him closely and marking him, showing
it's always going to be ball at hand, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't really need to do that, I don't think. It's just when you're a bit further away.
That's twice this week, though, that a camera angle hasn't really been conclusive for a lot of people. Like Neymar scoring in midweek, I was going, did he nutmeg Neuer or not?
Oh, for possibly.
And I'm still none the wiser as to whether he got nutmeg, because they didn't show the right camera angle.
Yeah. It does happen,
any point.
Sorry,
game.
I just said, oh, for Barcelona, obviously. Sorry, what I meant to say was in the...
No, I mean, I had a kick about in the park.
That's right.
Neymar and Manuel Neuer.
In the League 2 playoffs.
Yeah, that's right.
Playing copies. Knockout doubles.
Seven boys. But the thing is, the point I'm making there is, even if it did hit Defoe's hand, it still should be allowed. Because it was ball to hand. At the other end, you wouldn't give it.
I haven't seen it 100 times.
Yeah, but the general point.
I couldn't even decide whether it hit his hand or not.
But if it did, then surely it's a goal. People say, it shouldn't have been given. But actually, if it was a defender, and that was, you wouldn't say that was a penalty.
I agree with you.
It's a fair point.
So it doesn't matter if it hit his hand or not, Pete.
And it was
Sunderland one.
They were 1-0 up, and it was in like the 89th minute anyway.
Again, Crystal Palace. So there we are. Lovely. Well done, Sunderland. Big Dick's boys march on to their quest to safety.
I know we're going to talk about a lot of these games, but it must be great for so many teams to be putting runs of wins together, but also really frustrating that they're all doing it.
One team that haven't been winning is Newcastle United, but they did get a point, Peter.
They did.
How important that goal. Goodness me.
Yeah.
Stop the
rot. What a goal, too.
Great finish from Perez. Perez is one of those players that he's been let down by Newcastle this season in that they've just played him like a lone striker and he's not a big lad.
He got subbed off, but...
he'll make a lovely Spurs play next season, no doubt.
Yeah. Who have Newcastle not let down? Apart from the neutrals.
Yeah.
I don't feel like they've let me down.
I think they provided me with incredible service.
I feel that when was it Perez? I think he was subbed off, wasn't he?
Mm.
And Carver went to sort of give him the old well done. He didn't really look interested at all.
Would you take a compliment from that man? What the hell do you know about anything?
He's the best coach in the Premier League, Pete.
he's effectively their boss.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, he won't be next season, so that's fine.
Yeah. When I was watching the highlights of Match of the Day.
Cut down Match of the Day and made highlights of it.
You know what I mean? I was watching the highlights on Match of the Day, and I swear I was concentrating, but I didn't actually notice West Brom's score because it's become so normal for teams to score against Newcastle, it just doesn't even seem notable.
Right, get this out of the way. Let me start making the game.
Your first clue is if there's a corner or a free kick, if there's a dead ball situation, it's ending up with Tim Krull pulling out of his net and going,
It would be a bit like asking how many shots off target did West Brom have? You know, it just sort of happens.
It was an improved performance, but not that by that much by Newcastle.
Well, there was some fight there.
It looked like they gave a shit. It's come to the situation now where when a Newcastle team looks like they care outside of the set piece situation, then we're impressed.
It's just anything to just distract from everything that's happening off field. And you know, just Carver turning up to the press conference with Collor's letter in Spanish. It's in Spanish, so it must be him. It's in Spanish.
That's his third draft.
Yeah. You just get the impression that one of the squad has looked at the table. They've gone, bloody hell.
Yeah.
I could be in trouble here.
It was a vital point, though, because obviously they're two above Hull now, and we'll come on to Hull in just a sec, but they really buggered things up. But the reason why it's a vital point is Hull's goal difference is much better than Newcastle's. So if they were a point behind...
Mm.
Oh, Newcastle have conceded so many goals. I couldn't believe when I saw it. I think they've conceded fewer... The only team that's conceded more than them is Burnley.
But they did the exact same thing back in last
season. Not Burnley, sorry, QPR. I'm not talking about Burnley. Okay. Mm. QPR, the only team with worse goal difference.
And QPR
goals against them.
Is their own club record of 67.
Yeah, and they lost 6-0 at the weekend.
Yeah.
If they hadn't lost 6-0 at the weekend, they'd have the same goals conceded as Newcastle.
Dear me, but what about Hull, though?
I should say, in each of his goals was a lovely header. Really good technique, going away from goal, really craning the neck muscle.
The commentators on NBC, obviously I was watching, because it wasn't on telly, but on NBC, were like, really kind of like, they didn't sort of go, wow, that's a really good header. He was leaning back, kind of all the neck muscles, wonderful.
One of those ones that Cristiano Ronaldo does quite well, when the ball comes in and it's curled in, but it curls in just behind him, and he really has to crane himself to get any purchase on it. It was a good finish.
Goals
perhaps lost in the narrative of what was going on.
I would suggest so, yes.
Hull, terrible result for them.
Daft result.
Silly game.
Fuck off.
Silly club. But yeah, they're favourites to go down now, surely. I mean, that was the game, wasn't it? I mean, if they won that, then Newcastle United have got to get a win in their last two games.
In the words of Kevin Keegan, they've got to go there and get something.
or at least two draws, you know, because of the goal difference business. Whereas now Hull are really up against it. They are away to Spurs.
Then they've got United, haven't they?
Yeah. Manchester United at home. And Manchester United, you know, then a Louis van Gaal side aren't going to take
Spurs
it easy.
Spurs are an absolute joke, though.
There is a chance there that they could get something.
Yeah.
We're not even going to come on to this, are we? Because it's not in the running order because it's a meaningless mid-table game, but it should be registered that Spurs were an absolute embarrassment against
Spurs. It's not a mid-table game. They're meant to be going for a Europa League spot, but that's what you think it's a mid-table.
They're not trying.
Yeah. Allegedly. Michael Dawson, he had to leave the pitch, of course.
Oh, this was so stupid.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is stupid because of course, we understand the reason why the rule is in place, because if a player needs to get treatment, it makes sense that he has to go off, because otherwise players find injury all the time. I understand all that.
Well, there's blood involved.
But this is a blood injury, which wasn't his fault. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you're punishing a player for bleeding.
Mm.
And you're punishing a team because one of their players is bleeding. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Also, there was a natural break in the play. It was a set piece. Mm. He could have just come back on.
Mm.
It just seems so absurd to, as you say, punish someone for bleeding. What's the thinking behind that rule?
A whole were unlucky not to they hit the bar a couple of times. That free kick was a beauty.
Oh,
unlucky.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. I mean, even if they've just got a point, I mean, but...
I think all is
Bruce
not
looked dejected after the game.
That's the key thing. So, from one point of view, all is not lost for Hull because Spurs are in the situation they're in, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Manchester United have already sewn up fourth place,
pretty
effectively.
Much, yeah.
Because,
they will have by then.
Well, they have done.
They
the
have.
Goal difference
they
is
have,
so...
Yeah.
Is so.
But I mean, officially.
Yeah. So, barring that United will want to go...
But they could... sorry to interrupt, Luke, but if Arsenal maybe drop the odd result here and there, they could be challenging for third place.
Yeah, but I mean, the overall point I was just going to make is that United have looked vulnerable at home on occasion. So it's not the be-all and end-all. But the key thing for Hull fans is Hull aren't looking at anything like scoring or winning.
But is it the KC, though?
Regardless, United
Fortress KC.
United have looked vulnerable on occasion all season. Mm-hmm. Okay, they went on that run where they're amazing, but generally, you don't ever feel like they're too far away from a dodgy result currently. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, Hull can't do anything. They can't buy a win. So it comes down to them, really. It doesn't even really come down to the fixtures they've got, because we've seen what can happen when you're playing with confidence and with verve, as in Leicester. They won 6-7. Loads of those games, people never thought they had a cat and house chance of winning. Yeah. So it can happen, but it's just the way Hull are playing. They're on a downward spiral at this time of the season that can be terminal.
A couple of games ago, they beat Liverpool 1-0, though.
Yeah, but I mean, Villa, Sunderland,
Palace 2-0
away.
I mean, it's only the last two results. I mean, really, it was only the last result. They lost 3-1 against Arsenal, but that's to be expected. But before that, beat Liverpool 1-0, beat Palace 2-0 away. I mean, it was...
I suppose that's fair, that's fair.
But I think that result, though, really, to get beaten at home against the side who went down on the same bloody day...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's sort of seriously bad.
And you've got to look at everyone else's run-ins as well. I mean, you know, like you said, they have got Manchester United, so... And Newcastle got QPR and West Ham, which doable.
But Big Sam's coming to town on the last day.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you what,
he's kept pretty quiet up till now.
Well, yeah, that's it. We haven't heard a peep out of Big Sam recently. No,
that's true. Yeah, because they did really well at the start of the season.
Did you hear about
still
10th? Did you hear about the controversy around their end of season awards, West Ham?
No.
Apparently, Big Sam was sidelined from the proceedings.
Really?
Yeah, because normally every year they do a question and answer thing with the manager up on the stage.
Yeah.
About I think it's like a the awards thing without the players there and the members and whatever it is. And normally I think Big Sam, because Ben Shepherd, who's West Ham fan, he normally presents it. And apparently usually...
Russell Brand would.
Meet Raffle.
Usually,
down the working man's club.
David Cameron.
Oh, Big Sam was involved in the meet raffle.
Was David Cameron not involved?
No, he went to end up at Miller Park. Normally they do a question and answer with the manager. So Ben Shepherd interviews Big Sam on how the season went and stuff. Mm. I don't know if too much has been read into it, but apparently instead of having Big Sam, they had Mark Noble instead. And Big Sam apparently wasn't really involved at all or even acknowledged.
Oh, right.
And so a lot of people are saying that's because the Golden Sun want to sort of move him out.
Oh,
they've always been sort of fairly unsupportive of Sam, even though he's done like quite a good job.
Mm. Even earlier on the season, though, I can't remember. I mean, I might be wrong in this, but I can't remember too many times when they came out and they were like, "This is brilliant."
You can't disprove that they're West Ham fans, then, really, can you?
In a weird way, though, Big Sam's being treated in a similar way to Pardew was at Newcastle. Let me explain myself. He achieved quite a bit in terms of getting him promoted to the Premier League, which is a good achievement, the same way Pardew achieved Europa League football. And overall, people like us about Newcastle, who don't know the club that well, were saying, well, Pardew overall's done a good job. And then you would say, but look at the calendar year. Look how bad he's been in the calendar year. Look at that run they've gone on. Well, West Ham have gone on a similar run.
Yeah.
So it depends whether you think that he deserves to stand his job because overall, holistically, he's done a good job in terms of the big picture.
But I would disagree and say Pardew didn't do a good job holistically.
It's because you're irrational.
It's not about that.
Can you see the similarity?
I would also say that people outside of the club, but it happens with every team, doesn't it? Like we sit here and go blah blah blah. And then
I've
you know,
got
every
a question
get...
for specifically Marcus and Jim. You two,
when you're watching week in week out, it's different.
Can you face yourself down?
Can you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. No more questions.
Is that right? We finished? Yeah, good. All right, good.
Oh, dearie me. I get what you're saying there. But yeah, Hull are in big trouble. We wouldn't want to see old Brucey go down, would we?
Well, the thing is,
I was just thinking about going down with a speedboat.
But, yeah, I mean, I left that to a wide range of interpretations.
Mm. But if they go down, they will, particularly after that result, they will deserve to. They've been unlucky with injuries, yes, but they've spent a lot, and they have they've just been a bit hapless almost at times, haven't they? They have looked out of their depth this season, and their slide started ages ago.
Europa League, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it's curious how they sort of did so well, got to the cup final, and then I remember thinking at the time during the summer they strengthened pretty well. I mean, they were quite ambitious with their signings. I mean,
they spent a lot.
Yeah, and it's gone hugely wrong for them. Hugely wrong.
But it's a great
show. Can't have a tickling against Manchester United this time.
Oh my God, Brucey bonus.
Stevie Bruce cannot roll over and have his belly.
You can't do it. You've given them enough.
Because it would take longer than 90 minutes to tickle the entire belly.
To be honest though, Man United do have the option of just rolling him over and tickling him themselves.
Yeah, right? That's true.
Not on Van Gaal's watch.
Little tickle under the chin.
It's not the time nor the place. All right, just put in a performance. Right, you all won. You all your supporters won.
Oh dear. Burnley are down though.
They are. And obviously three teams have to be relegated, we all know that. But Burnley have been alright. They've worked really hard. Sean Dyche looks like he's gonna keep his job.
Yeah.
They hugely overachieved, really. I mean, if you listen to what Sean Dyche said about
I said this the other week and you went, well, 5 wins in 34 or whatever.
When was that?
Like a week or two ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks a long time in football.
Oh, up yours. That's all right. Come on. Listeners are with me there.
A fair point.
Luke said we know that we need three. You know, you got three teams going down.
I mean,
Marcus's performance last week in the Scottish Law League.
Hang on, we'll come to that.
Yeah. Okay, let me defend myself. You have to be respectful of a team when they've been relegated.
I said, have they not done better than what most people would think? Perhaps maybe not overachieved, I didn't say, but they've done better than what most people think they were going to do. And you had 5 wins in 34.
As a football podcast, we have to be week to week, we've got to be reactionary. We can't be anything else. We've got to be big mouthy idiots and everyone forgets what you say the next week.
Not a problem.
Can I say as well, I'm really looking forward to seeing how you have to be respectful of teams that have been relegated goes when the QPR result comes up. Yeah. Probably in a couple of minutes.
I haven't worked out what I'm going to do about that. But with Burnley, you don't speak into the dead. They've been relegated. There's no point sticking the boot into them now. They're gone. But when they still had a fighting chance, you couldn't argue at any point they've overachieved. So I pulled you up on that.
Do you think that they should?
What? You just my goodness.
Flip flop.
I said they've done all right. And look where they were when Sean Dyche took them over.
Would you like me to move on to QPR for your sake?
I'm probably going to fuck that one up as well, but go on.
Do you think Sean Dyche should stay on as the manager?
Yeah, I think he should stay on. I mean, if he's offered a bigger job, you can't... I'm not saying he should be or will be or there's no rumours or anything like that. But if he was, for example, then you couldn't blame him for doing so.
Do you think this is good for Burnley going down, then up, then down and up? Is that kind of the sort of club that...
Well, I think they'll get a lot of money, won't they? Because they didn't have much money on the way up, so they will gain a lot of money.
Yeah, is it two seasons of parachute payments? Is that right?
I'm not sure how it works, but they'll get a few quid, certainly. But actually, compared to QPR, QPR will lose a lot of players. Now, possibly that's a good thing for them.
Yeah.
But Burnley have a chance to keep the bulk of that squad.
Yeah, I mean, Danny Ings will probably go, but other than that, you're right. I mean, because they didn't really sign that many players. No. This is largely the squad that got them promoted in the first place. So I mean, they should go down with some stability, which is a pretty rare thing.
Mm. Yeah, and if that is the case, in contrast, though, let's talk about QPR. I mean,
respectfully, of course.
The thing about QPR is I really want to say is that they've been relegated quite handsomely, and they're still going to get battered by financial fair play.
That is the Redknapp
legacy.
Well, it's a shame that Redknapp went, isn't it? It's a shame his knees went because, you know, he'd have kept them up. As we've been hearing,
was in the Mirror today saying that he blamed a lack of funding for their reasons of going down.
Shameless.
Just thought that made it quite nice.
I thought that was fitting.
Yeah, I like it.
But I mean, we could.
They were woofully poor against City. I know City are a good team, but given that you're in a situation where you've got to win to stay up. Now, you remember when they played City on the last day of the season, a couple of seasons ago?
Yeah.
And they gave a really good account of themselves. Now, of course, they didn't get relegated anyway, did they? Or did they get relegated?
They didn't.
City won the league and they stayed up. It was a big party, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but. They gave a really good account of themselves that day.
Yeah.
They were fantastic. And they had a man sent off as well.
Joey Barnes.
Yeah, so I mean, compare that to what you saw yesterday. Yeah. I mean, they were.
They've been really, really.
It wasn't even a case of they're working their socks off and their players just better. There was just basic mistakes.
Well, Clint Hill sounded absolutely broken and distraught after the game, and he said all the bad things we've been doing this season, like making sloppy mistakes, not concentrating enough. It all seemed to happen throughout the game because they've lost a lot of points late on
throughout the season.
Yeah, yeah. But he said the point he made was we've been losing points late on,
and we were
just from the beginning we've been making the mistakes that have cost us that. They just got overawed by the occasion, I think. The City fans were crowing a lot, weren't they?
Yeah.
Very weird. A lot of every time a shot went like wayward. And it's like, come on. It's not that long ago that you were in that position.
QPR have got, I think they were the worst record in terms of points dropped in the last 10 minutes in the season. And that tells its own story. I think they dropped like 10 points or something.
I'd imagine they'd be down there for a lot of those stats.
And on Man City's side, I mean, there's only really Aguero been performing to his level. Everyone else has been absolute jokers.
So inconsistent. I mean, Silva was good. I mean, against Cooper, but they weren't at it at all. It was a training game for them, really.
Rob Green relegated from the Premier League for the fourth time.
It's a funny one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was Rob Green in goal for Norwich when they got whooped 6-0 by Fulham
at Craven Cottage? All they had to do to stay in the Premier League was I think it might have even been if they got a point they'd have been all right, and they lost 6-0.
Yeah, I remember that game.
And Fulham didn't have that much to play for.
No,
unbelievable.
Oh, dear,
you wonder about that because surely there can't be coincidence there. I mean, on the surface, Rob Green seems an amazing goalkeeper. Is it just that? I don't know.
It's very hard to influence the game from where he stands.
He's just one of those goalkeepers who seems to play for struggling Premier League teams a lot.
Look, Dutch international Leroy Fer with his second relegation in a row.
He's really stacking them up.
Yeah, well, not in a row, but I know what you mean. But in the Premier League.
Loves a wage cut.
Playing for QPR, because obviously...
Oh, no, you've got to play for Norwich.
Sorry, what am I talking about? Yeah. So I was thinking about, he was QPR longer.
But his next kind of contract negotiation, he can't go in and go, if they go, right, it's a Premier League drop wage cut, I'm not taking that. I will relegate you.
Because I'm guaranteeing it. I'm the new Nigel Quarry. Yeah.
He'll probably go to Bournemouth now, won't he? He'll pop up at Bournemouth.
Do you think? Yeah. We'll talk about Bournemouth in a short while.
When Redknapp gets the job.
No chance. that would be it for Leroy Fer. You'll get the parachute payments. You'll be able to afford the wages.
Leroy Fer played in the World Cup, didn't they?
Yeah, very well.
What is happening?
I know. Oh, dear. Leicester, though, eh? Gordon Bennett beat Southampton 2-0. Another team who don't fancy the Europa League, perhaps.
Yeah.
Mm. Maris scored a lovely one to get things going.
I haven't had a chance to say this much this season, but Southampton were shit.
They really were, though, weren't they? Leicester just dominated them. Like, it's great to see, actually, like... Leicester just romped the Championship last season. They're absolutely brilliant in the way that Bournemouth and Watford have done this season, when they play this really, really attacking, exciting football, and you look at that and you go, oh, they might be really interesting in the Premier League next season, and then pretty much every single time they're not like that because they're just overawed by the step up in quality. But now they look like they've found their feet, and they look like the team that got promoted.
Correct.
And they're playing in the same style and dominating teams.
Absolutely. In the last couple of months, they've been playing like a Premier League team, but
part of me thinks that, like, on occasion, certainly the first 2 months of the season, from what I can remember, they were decent.
They've had a good start and a good finish.
I know you can't really be, like, October, November, December, January, February, you can't really be unlucky for 6 months.
No.
But I sort of feel like they have been a bit.
It seemed to be about goals, though, didn't it?
It's just like they weren't taking chances.
Ajoa stopped scoring, didn't he? He's been great at either end of the season, as we've
mentioned before. It's a bit like, as Pete was saying, it's a bit like an exam essay. Just make sure the first bit and the last bit are good. I ain't going to read all of it. But they're going to stay up now. Good luck to them.
Well, I hope they're going to stay up. It looks like it, but I want them to stay up so much I don't want to jinx it by believing it.
I think they will stay up. I mean, they've got a pretty good chance.
No, Leicester will be fine.
Do you think that Cambiasso will stay on for another year? Is there any talk of that?
If he's got it in him, why not? I mean, he's had a nice time, isn't he?
Well, he wasn't on 1 year, though, was he?
I'm not sure what his contract situation is.
But a lot of the Argentinians or South Americans sometimes, like, in the twilight of their career, like to go back to their native homeland, don't they?
I haven't seen a flare for a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seen a pitch invasion.
I haven't seen a bog roll flying at me.
No one saw a battery at me for a while. I miss that.
Yeah. Aston Villa are surely safe now.
They are.
And it's that man, Tim Sherwood.
Oh, God.
Am I right in saying that, I'm sure I read this, that since Tim Sherwood took over, no team has scored more goals. Actually, I think it was ahead of the Man City game. No team had scored more goals than Aston Villa.
Wow. Yeah, there's your record.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've still gone
very hard to see him losing his job.
we're going to have to get you a marzipan hat.
Got a prediction for you guys. Don't think he's going to get fired.
You didn't say which year.
Exactly.
That's true. But did he say when he's talking about players I can't remember which player he was talking about, where he said, I'm not going to play him in the cup final.
Oh, cleverly.
Oh, yeah,
cleverly,
yeah, because he's on loan, isn't he?
That's right.
So if he doesn't sign permanently, I'm going to let him play.
I think a fair few of us thought that there was, this is not just after time for me, I think a fair few of us thought there was a player in Cleverly, didn't we? We just thought he was a bit unlucky.
I think everybody did when he first came on the scene.
Low on confidence.
Fans of both Man United and England really got on his back, didn't they? And that's got to be difficult when you're a young man trying to establish yourself. So I'm not surprised.
I think Hodgson put him in that England side too early and tried. I think he wanted him to be the short ball playing, passing midfielder that England have often lacked. And of course, he just wasn't quite up to the task. You know, in the same way Stuart Downing was put in, he was given too much responsibility at England level. If it's at England level, everybody sees it. Mm. And Downing was you can't blame him. He's not going to say, you know, don't pick me. Mm. But he just wasn't quite ready. He wasn't quite good enough at times. But Downing's still a handy player. He's a good Premier League player. And Cleverly clearly is as well. And he started well at Manchester United. For whatever reason, he went off the board a little bit. But
to
see him playing again. And under a man like Tim Sherwood, how could he not play well?
To give Tim Sherwood his credit, what he's done is he has gone in there, recognised where the talent in the squad lies and just given them a load of confidence.
Yeah.
And
that's clearly his Sherwood's strength.
Whether that, I mean, I obviously don't want to come across as bitter because obviously I'm better than I would have hoped he'd done because I don't like him. But
sorry, did you say you were trying to not come across as bitter?
Yeah, because what I was going to say was it remains to be seen whether that can work long term because he's never managed long term.
Absolutely. Well, it's a Redknapp situation, isn't it, really? It's very, very similar, very good man motivator, as you can say. He can obviously identify talent very well, but does it have that longevity?
We shall see.
We will show indeed, yeah.
With the 30th of November.
Well, he still could get fired by then, or he could leave by then.
Oh, but it's the Premier League. He'd be fired before the end of the season.
Yeah. Because he could go on a horrendous run at the start of next season.
10-0 in the FA Cup.
Or he does so well that he gets poached by a bigger club and therefore I'm still technically correct.
Because you said gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you now want him to be really, really good. Has he gone too far the other way?
Someone link him with the Bayern Munich job when Pep goes.
Or if Aston Villa have to move stadiums.
Didn't he say something silly about that? Because Roy Keane was having a pop at him.
I love Roy Keane. Yeah. I love it more now.
And Sherwood. Oh, that's right, because apparently Sherwood was sniffing around the club when Lambert was still there, and he said he was watching in the stands and it was putting unnecessary pressure on Lambert because he knew the guy who's potentially replacing him was sat a few rows back. And Sherwood said, well, I was just watching football. You know, maybe in between jobs I'll go and watch Real Madrid or Barcelona next.
How much would you pay on a pay-per-view basis on Sky Sports to see Roy Keane have a fight with Tim Sherwood?
I thought you were going to say Sherwood, Cam.
No, Tim Sherwood versus Roy Keane.
I wouldn't pay for it. Stripped to the waist. It'd be one of those matches that's just over
after
2 seconds.
I was going to say, not even a round.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. It won't happen, though. Laws and that. Now, Chelsea, they drew 1-1 with Liverpool. John Terry got his 39th Premier League goal.
Laminated banter in the stadium.
Yes, there was, wasn't
there?
Did you
see that? The Chelsea fans had signs saying Slip Hazard, Steven Gerrard, and the signs were laminated.
Brilliant.
It's his last game at Stamford Bridge. You're not going to use them again.
Yeah. Just as well, they said Gerrard on it because, you know, John Terry had
it. Yeah, exactly.
It does make you question what they're going to do with him afterwards.
Yeah. It was a very, very strange thing to see.
When they holiday in California.
Maybe. Gerrard wasn't too enamoured with the standing ovation from Chelsea at all.
I like that.
Yeah,
no,
it was quite funny. He's still quite annoyed about it. Yeah.
I think he was just like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, but he even said it was nice of them to turn up today. I think, parting shot, brilliant. Yeah. We were saying the other week how boring it is when players don't do that, so good on Gerrard.
Yeah.
And especially against the astonishingly classless Chelsea fans, so it's fine, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Gerrard, was it nice to see him score, Luke?
Why didn't he celebrate?
Well, it was 1-1, it was an equaliser, they needed to win.
I just feel like when Gerrard scores, everyone who supports Liverpool and everyone associated with the club's like, right, everything's done for today then. That's what we wanted to happen.
Maybe that's why he didn't celebrate.
They'd rather Gerrard scored in this farewell tour he's doing, like fucking Frank Sinatra, than they would fucking win games. It's embarrassing.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't think that's true.
He says he wants to come back in 2 years.
That's not
going to happen. They don't want you now.
No, but I think as a coach, maybe.
Yeah.
He's going to come back as a fullback or something.
Maybe just wants a season ticket.
Why didn't he celebrate? Because he wanted to get on and score another goal because they needed to win. Was that why?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I don't think he was not celebrating because he nearly signed for Chelsea.
No.
Roy Race would not have been happy with 1-0, would he?
No, he wouldn't. No,
so there you
true.
Go.
Roy the Rovers.
But by him giving it the big one about Marino as well, is he having a go at Rodgers and that for not.
I saw that as a thinly veiled dig at Rodgers because he didn't seem to be too happy to be subbed off. Mm. And when Rodgers tried to approach him and give him the well done, he didn't really seem that bothered. Mm. And then he made the point of saying that Mourinho is the best coach around in his view, which I thought, possibly wrongly, I'll concede, it was a bit of a thinly veiled dig at Rodgers, who apparently behind the scenes there's been a bit of friction there.
Really? Yeah, but Mourinho's been full of praise for Gerrard.
Oh, yeah, but you don't have to say that there and then right on the post-match interview.
Yeah, but I mean, Mourinho has won so much. He arguably is the best coach in the world, and I don't think Rodgers would even think he was in that bracket himself.
But then even in, you know, Steven Gerrard's, whatever state of hubris he could possibly be in, like, he must still admit that Mourinho's the expert in getting rid of older players that he doesn't want anymore, yeah. You know what I mean? So it's not like Gerrard would have stuck around for them.
Well, he had Drogba back, which is a mistake. I think that, I'm not talking about the content of the sentiment, I mean the timing and the manner of it more than anything.
Well, he was responding to a question he was asked, though, wasn't he? It's not like he's called a press conference to say, I bloody love Jose.
Imagine if he did that. I mean, that would be good. In Anfield, that would be a dig. I just thought from Gerrard's point of view.
The press conference taking place in a bus.
Yeah, it was a real...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Really diggy interview from Steven Gerrard. He was digging everyone.
Fine.
Dig
I enjoyed it.
That's great, though. He's on his way out.
Yeah.
Get your guns out.
D-mob happy.
Yes. Lovely old job. Right then, should we go to the championship?
Yeah.
Yes.
The old tractor derby ended 1-1.
I saw some people on Twitter calling it Farmageddon.
Oh, the old farm.
The old farm
old
derby.
Old farm derby was quite good. Yeah, Ipswich won, Norwich won. Nicely poised, Pete. Nicely poised.
I'm really looking forward to it.
The second legs to be played at the end of the week. But Middlesbrough got a great result, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
And Morbietta on loan from Fulham, last minute winner.
You've got to fancy Middlesbrough to go through there because their record against Brentford surely is fantastic.
I really like Brentford. I'm gutted to see that they may not get into the Premier League, but Middlesbrough have been great this season.
I think I'm right in saying Borough have beaten Brentford 6 times in a row. They've got their number, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. And to take a good lead like that into a home leg for that one, then surely you'd fancy Middlesbrough. I mean, on paper, Norwich-Middlesbrough final is probably what you'd weigh up there.
Yeah. I still think Ipswich have got a chance. I know they've got to go to Carrow Road, but I mean, I think Mick McCarthy's a canny old operator. And I think I read today that Alex Neil still hasn't done his badges. And so if they get promoted, there may be an issue. But they always seem to work their way around that, don't they?
Yeah, an interim manager. Yeah. Oh, Redders will do it for a bit.
Redders was basically trying to stop Alex Neil doing his badges.
Yeah. Bottom at Christmas. Mm. Hardly any wins. They're like, Neil, can you seriously get these badges stopped?
70 million in the hole.
Neil takes over and they finish, you know, third from bottom. Yeah. And they just get edged. Yeah. And Redknapp's like, wow, you know, he couldn't turn it around.
I needed 30 million for my robotic knees.
Alex Neil's like, oh, they told me I can't do my badges because Redknapp spent all the money.
Ha ha ha!
And Ronaldo's telling Gareth Bale, yeah, there's no Spanish teachers in the whole It's like, oh, they're all on holiday now.
Yeah, because Ronaldo has genuinely hired them all and sent them on holiday.
Like that Chinese billionaire.
I can imagine Ronaldo not doing that, but hiring them all to teach Bale Spanish incorrectly.
Yeah. So like, a fork is a knife and up is down.
But I can talk English to you, Cristiano. No. But you speak it. No. Well, you're just doing it there.
Coincidence, mate. What are you talking about? Coincidence again.
Now, Bournemouth are already looking at their summer transfer targets. Eyeing up a move for Berbatov.
Do you think this is more a statement of intent? Because wouldn't he be available on a free?
Possibly.
So, but... Because haven't Monaco been a bit naughty as well?
No doubt, Jim.
They've got some weird punishment where they can't. Their squad size is limited.
Right, is that financial fair play? The problem is it's not an even playing field, is it? Because in Monaco you'd have to pay tax.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a funny old one. But I heard that Bournemouth were after that Braga forward.
Edair,
mm-hmm. Which is the same.
They've got him, I think.
Oh, they have got him. So
I believe so. That's what reportedly.
Early business.
Oh, no, so I think they've bidded for him, sorry.
Right, so that's the.
£5 million, which would be a club record.
Yeah, but that is the age-old problem with a sort of, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but an unfashionable club being promoted to the Premier League.
Yeah.
You're not going to get an established top-level striker. So, as we said before, you've got to gamble on someone like Adair, or you've got to get a striker from the lower leagues and hope it works out. Mm. And that's what they've done with Adair. He's not scored that many goals this season, I don't think.
Mm. I mean, he's got scoring records okay, but I know what you mean. It does. Mm.
He's not young, he's like 27 or something.
Yeah, it does seem... slightly strange.
But they've got no option.
But with Berbatov, you have a proven Premier League striker, but at the top end, when he's been playing for Spurs or Manchester United.
A while ago now as well. Mm.
Whereas, you look at him at Fulham, he didn't fancy it. And
I don't think you want him at Berbatov.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
Especially the way, in the manner in which they got promoted with that sort of unified squad and that sort of thing.
And they're a very pacey team, which he just completely changes.
Look, we all like Berbatov as a player, very graceful and whatnot, but when you talk about a promoted side like Bournemouth, and especially the mentality Eddie Howe has around the place... The way he would just sort of waltz in and his attitude and his work rate and so on. If you when you're a promoted side in the Premier League, one thing you have to get right is the work rate. Everyone has to be all hands to the pump.
And even then, that may still not be enough.
There you go.
But with Berbatov, I think the best way I can think of summing it up is we all love Berbatov. Yep. But the party's over now.
We all love him, but he doesn't love us.
The house party's over.
Berbatov's pump is dumpy. Everything's just coming out.
We've run out of beer. The off licence is closed.
The sun's coming up.
Yeah. We've all heard all the tunes. There's no more tunes. Let's just leave
Everyone's
it there.
Feeling slightly doomy. Yeah. They've let their mum down.
Let's just leave
Someone's
it
spilled poppers on the table.
He's found another party.
Yes.
You know?
He's off.
Because he's a bit like Pitbull in that sense. Don't stop the party.
No.
Yeah?
I'm
and
full
respect
of money.
That. Let's Berbatov. Now, what about Leeds United? Bloody hell. He's back. And now the party begins. Rizdale is just Massimo Cellino light now, isn't he? Cellino's returned to Leeds. He's been granted permission by the Football League after sitting and passing the fit and proper person's test. What have you got to do to fail that? Seriously.
Are you a dick? No. Honestly, no. All right.
I seriously think that the only thing you have to do to pass that is just not commit a crime while you're sitting
there. Yeah. No. You've got to not be in jail. If you can sit the test outside of jail, you're fine.
The guy Antonov, who owned Portsmouth for a little bit when it was, doing a very good impression of a massive money laundering exercise.
In his turn at past the Portsmouth.
He passed the fit and proper person's test and has now just been extradited on a £400 million fraud. £400 million fraud.
That's not chump change, is
no.
it? That's a good amount.
To be fair,
well done.
But that's good fraud, isn't it? He's proven that he's good at fraud.
Big boy fraud.
It makes Cellino look like an amateur. Many things make Cellino look like an amateur.
Some things may or may not have been unearthed about that man.
But there's so many sort of little stories throughout his tenure at Leeds United. And when he was in the doldrums, when he was in exile, it was just like loads of things have happened that haven't really been explained. Like those players just declare themselves unfit, six players or something, on the eve before a championship match. It just seems that's never been explained, I'm sure.
We're all for forgiveness in society because otherwise society can't function. But the Football League seem rather forgiving in the sense that it's kind of like, right, okay, so have you served your time? Have you done your bans? All sorted? Right, you can come back in. It's like, well, no, what's the point? There shouldn't be no fit and proper person's test then.
Yeah.
It is literally like, that's what I mean. Are you in jail or are you not? Are you under house arrest? No? Okay, well, that's fine.
Well, the second time you see it, you're just like, oh, yeah, that's sorry about that. That's okay, fine.
It's,
like,
it's not a million miles away from go away and think about what you've done. It basically is that.
Well, it's like, I didn't know that you could be pissed out your head or on drugs to vote. As long as you're not disruptive, disruptive,
that's
it's fine.
True.
Seriously. Yeah.
As long as you aren't causing a nuisance to other voters, you can be in any state you want and you can still vote.
Brilliant.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Zero.
Well, you should have told people that before the vote.
Yeah. Could have a higher turnout.
Might have got a different result.
Higher being the operative.
Might have got Marcus's beloved UKIP in.
That's enough.
He gets really
that's
upset.
Very naughty, that
that's
is.
What you said.
That's, shut up.
It's a secret ballot.
The great thing about it is the more angry you get about it, the more it seems like it's true.
That's not true. Look at my Twitter feed and you'll know my thoughts on the election.
Can't vote via Twitter.
I think
shy
I'm,
Tory.
Well, no. Nonsense. I'm going to be moving.
Shy Kip.
I'm going to be going north of the border again, the way things are going. Be among the people. Yes, so Chiellino was angry when he returned to the club, as nothing had been done in his eyes. He said, nothing has been sorted out, and instead there is just shit. You know, presumably the toilets aren't working. When I left, everyone was looking after their own skin rather than what was good for the club.
I'm sorry, what? Yeah. Your skins need looking after.
Yeah. So basically...
She's Nivea everywhere.
People are looking after their own skin rather than what's good enough for the club. He's been banned for trying to...
Yeah, I mean, but if he's coming back in and he's been banned and still, to him, it looks ridiculous, then how bad is it?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's true. Damn a Blackpool. She almost
surely,
got
surely what's good for the club is the owner not to be committing crimes.
Yes. Some would say they were directionless without the director.
Yeah. I did quite like this, though. It was a slight Ian Brown moment he had. Everything needs sorting out for next season. The sponsors, ground, lights, even pre-season. They told me we were booked for pre-season. Then I found out the Liverpool under-17s are booked at the same place and there was only one training pitch. Amateurs.
Fucking amateurs.
Fucking amateurs.
we'll just play them.
Cut their fucking hands off.
Yeah. terrible accent there. I apologise to all of England, actually, not just the North.
Yeah. Chiellino also said that he's in love with Neil Redfern.
Well, that could pose its own problems.
Neil Redfern's yet to comment.
It's a very candid interview, this.
Do we know whether it's unrequited at this stage?
It's unrequired.
Yeah, young lady. Yeah, I agree with
Do
that.
Do we know whether it's Eros or Agape?
Excellent. Oh, you're well pleased with yourself there.
Young, and so you bloody
no,
should
I'm
be.
Not really.
Young love.
Thank you.
No, I'm not really.
Bloody good mystery jester.
Never had there been a tale of more woe than Neil Redfern and her Romeo. And her Chiellino.
Oh, League One, Swindon versus Sheffield United. The second leg hasn't been played yet.
That was a great first leg, though.
But we know that Preston are in the final after beating Chesterfield 4-0 on AG.
Chesterfield captain Ian Evatt, or as the one on the news called him earlier, Ian Evatt, which made him sound a lot more glamorous than he is, no disrespect.
Yeah, or like a vat of something.
He was apparently assaulted by one or two Preston fans. Spat on, punched, all sorts.
After they'd lost as well.
Pitch invasion. Yeah.
Horrible stuff. That's annoying.
Yeah.
But what about Jermaine Beckford's beauty?
Scored from 50 yards, yeah. His other goal was amazing as well.
Delightful one.
Hey, he's ex-Leeds, of course.
Yeah.
Threatened to be a real big player, actually, for a while. But
ex-Everton as well.
Yeah, indeed. He got his move, didn't he, to the Premier? He didn't really work out.
It was a loan, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but
he did
really
okay, but yeah, he wasn't quite there. Mm. Wasn't quite there, Pete.
No.
What about League Two playoffs?
Wow, I'll tell you something. There were two great games in that. The Plymouth 2, Wickham 3. Wickham was 3-0 up away from home, and Plymouth pegged them back, which could come back to haunt Wickham. I hope not, because I quite like the chair, boys. But Stevenage 1, Southend 1 was a good game as well. Mm. But it contained two points of interest. One was 56-year-old Dave Besant on the bench for Stevenage.
Yes. So brilliant.
Never has a group of people watching a game, I presume, been more desperate for a goalkeeper injury. Nothing and serious.
Even their own team, I would want to see that.
I'd love a one. I'd love. What I really
what a
wanted
story.
Was a one-on-one. Keeper does a professional foul, has to go off. Big Dave Besant has to come on. I remember.
Saves the penalty.
Obviously,
it made me look back to when Dave Besant played for Portsmouth. He played for Portsmouth on loan for I think half a season.
Yeah, right.
And he was 44 at the time. And that was in. I think that was in like 2002.
He didn't play much though.
No, I think he made. A fair few appearances.
Okay.
But the other point I want to make was it contained that game the worst clash of heads I've ever seen in a domestic game, certainly.
Because I saw his head stitched up.
Yeah, it looked like a tube map.
It looked like the metro map of Oslo.
Yeah. Essentially, they both, I forget who it was now, Dembele for Stevenage. And I think Tomlin or Timlin, I forget his name, for Southend, who actually had to go off. He didn't want to go off, to his credit, but he had to. And they both went full-blooded for the ball. Sickening clash of heads at full pelt. Dembele actually carried on. I mean, to me, it looked like a concussion all over the shot. But he was bandaged up and he parried on. Tomlin couldn't carry on. His eyebrow was like hanging down like a horrendous like boxer's cut, and he had to go off and he got stitched and stapled up.
It was about like 150 stitches.
No, I think it was 40 stitches.
Well, I can't count. But his head looked like his head had burst.
It was absolutely horrendous. I think it was 9 minutes of injury time at the end of the first half.
I've got the Game of Thrones theme in my head again.
Yeah, it was a bit like that.
Red wedding of football.
It was a bit like that.
But I always have a bit of a soft spot speaking about the other fixture for Plymouth, because Plymouth was always the place where, because there's a lot of there's a big naval tradition in my hometown. Plymouth was always where the dads went, either when they split away the missus, or the dads left the town and went to Plymouth.
It's a fairly robust town, isn't it?
That's odd.
Fairly heavy drinking, robust town.
but am I
right in saying that Southend narrowly missed out to Burton last year in the playoffs or something like that? I can't remember now. Because Burton got promoted again this season.
Yeah, that's right. I have a bit of a soft spot for Southend because my old maths teacher used to support them, and his name is Mr. Munt, which is obviously really fun when you're a child.
Cheers for rescuing me there, mate. I don't know what I was talking about.
I wanted to go back to Besson, actually, because... It was Besson's... last season was on the bench, wasn't he?
I think he might have been. Well, he played for a non-league team last season, I think.
There was something about Besson.
Around this time, from what I remember.
Because he was goalkeeping coach, but they had injuries, and they needed to put him on the bench, so he was a registered player.
I don't think that was Besson.
Was it not?
I think that was someone else.
Okay.
But I do remember
that.
That
was Chris Woods.
Yeah, was it Mark Crossley?
It's definitely one of them. But you know that it's worth remembering that Dave Besson was literally on the bench for a professional team in a playoff game yesterday.
That's what I'm saying. Playoff game. Yeah. This is not a kind of a mid-table clash halfway through the season. None of that. This is playoff stuff.
He won the FA Cup in the late 80s.
Exactly.
Wonderful.
Yeah, marvellous stuff. I mean, this is for, you know, to be into England's third tier. There were probably...
Sadly, he didn't feature.
Probably players in that squad who weren't born when he won the FA Cup.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely, Jimbo. Defo's mate.
Do you want to clear up your Scottish Championship mess?
Why I want to go back to Dave Besson.
Actually, a lot of people kindly tweeted me, and they weren't angry tweets.
I saw a few angry ones.
Yeah, they must have all gone to the podcast account.
Shielded you from them.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. So Hibs will play the winner of Rangers versus Queen of the South, and then the winner of that will play the team 11th placed in the Scottish Premiership, which is currently Motherwell. And now, obviously, I know that, you know that. Last week, I made a prediction saying Hibs will play Motherwell.
Yeah.
And people seem to think that I got it all wrong.
Oh, really?
And we'll move on to the Liga.
So magnanimous, isn't it? How does he do it?
Amazing. Richard Keyes-esque.
Daniels-esque.
On that note, I will say, Marcus did make a mistake last week. There's a reason for that. Yeah. Two words. Dark forces. Yeah, it's with the lawyers.
Yeah,
it'll come out in the wash. Don't worry.
Look, the Scottish
Marcus Galloway over there. I demand a recount.
The Scottish champions and championship and I enjoyed some banter
together.
All right, that's all I'm saying. Apologies, etc., and so on. Let's go to La Liga then, you buggers. Real Madrid, they've thrown it away, boys. Ronaldo missed a pen. Valencia, they got a point at the Bernabeu. They're 4 points off Barcelona. What else have we got here? Oh, yeah, but Barcelona are going to be playing Atletico Madrid in Madrid.
Yeah,
they can clinch the league there. And of course, Barcelona. Atletico Madrid won the league at Barcelona last season. A little bit of tick for
trading it off just to annoy Real Madrid.
Yeah, well, but I don't know what I'm trying, because they could have won the league themselves.
There was talk among the Real Madrid or around the Real Madrid game that people were saying that now Gareth Bale needs to be passed to more.
Yes, his agent.
This is so childish.
It is absolutely
A few
pathetic,
weeks ago, we were talking about Ronaldo being passed to the ball more. Now it's talking about Bale. Make your mind. It's a team game. Yeah. Just pass the ball to that teammate that is the most sensible pass to make.
I just always think that when it happens every time an English player goes to, specifically Real Madrid, a British player goes to, or a player who's played in the Premier League and has been celebrated as such.
And he's come
through the ranks. I'm half Welsh. That's how it works, so it's fine. When they go to Real Madrid, like, we hear about them having a terrible time, but over there it's not quite so acute. But I think this time around, I think it possibly is.
Yeah,
it's not having a great time.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think I can't work it out. I don't know whether Ronaldo's getting a bit uppity that Bale was suddenly grabbing a few headlines, scoring the winners, and he's getting jealous, or there is indeed Bale's but obviously not.
Wasn't there talk that it's press hitting out at Perez because Bale was his signing?
Yeah, there
but
was why, talk
but
of
I mean,
that.
He's got to play anyway. He's got they've got to play him. He's like their most expensive signing, so I mean, he has to play him, and they're not going to ship him out with anyone. They're not going to afford
but
him.
He's proved his quality.
Yeah, it's not like he's playing badly. That's the crazy thing.
Look at what he did this time last season, for crying out loud.
And he's had moments this season as well.
I think he has. There has been occasions this season, from what I've seen, where he's looked disinterested, a little bit like a spare part.
But is that not because of what's been going on?
Possibly, yeah.
So from what the crowd have been saying, and from what some of the media have been saying, it's like, well, we don't really want this guy here. And if you've done what he's done there with his goals and assist tallies and whatnot, you just think to yourself, ugh. Sold off.
He's probably getting distracted at looking at things in the stand and thinking about what it is in Spanish. Cerveza.
Could well be.
El Fraunos.
What about Pedro's lovely overhead kick?
Fantastic. Yeah. Lovely.
He seemed to like very deliberately and pointedly ignore both Luis Suarez and Lionel Messi after that.
Do you think the keeper could have done better with that?
No.
There's only ever been one.
Would have saved it.
There's only ever been one overhead kick where the keeper couldn't have done any better, and that was Trevor Sinclair's.
Yeah.
Rooney's against City.
I think he was. Yeah, and it came off his shin.
Yeah, so that was top corner though. Where it was still an overhead kick, and Rivaldo for Barcelona against.
The hat trick.
Glorious. So, I disagree with you.
All right, three then. the history of football.
Ronaldinho's overhead kick for Barcelona against...
Could have definitely done that.
If you give us time to prepare, we can go out some more.
Could be loads on YouTube.
Trevor Sinclair.
Marco Van Basten's one for... I'll have you.
I think they were playing Brentford anyway, so it wasn't that good.
What, Milan? what else? Bloody, bloody, blah, Barcelona. Yeah. Oh, yes, Diego Maradona. Has settled the Ronaldo and Messi debate by saying they're both the same.
It's very difficult to judge between those two players because they're both excellent, of course, and they come and go and break records between them.
Yeah.
I feel confident, though, that they're not the same person.
No, but, you know, maybe this smacks of, like, a journalist has been out on the town. He's gone, bloody hell, there's Diego Maradona over there. He's just I'll get a quote from him. What do you think of Ronaldo or Messi? And Maradona's like, oh, I just need another drink. Yeah, they're the same. Fuck off, mate. Yeah. And he's gone into the press.
Yeah, but I don't think journalists are... terribly surprised to see Diego Maradona out on the town though.
Well, exactly. Maybe they're going out there hunting for quotes.
If I go out, I'll probably see Diego Maradona.
Exactly. If I go to enough pubs, I will definitely bump into him.
Lovely old job. Do you remember that time he saw Peter Reid in Dubai?
In the hotel, presumably.
Peter Reid. Now, there's two drinking buddies, surely. Yeah. You were better than me, weren't you?
Talking about old times.
Can't understand a word the other's saying, but still just getting on famously.
Talking about one particular old time.
Reed's just happy to be involved in that.
Yeah, definitely.
I played my part in that.
I was going to be in the hotel bar anyway, so this is a bonus.
Now then, let's go to the Bundesliga. Bayern lost 1-0 at home to Augsburg.
Four losses in a row.
Crazy behaviour.
Augsburg are doing better than you would think if you didn't follow German football. I think they're fifth in the table.
Yeah, but still.
Still, it was an goal too, wasn't it?
I'm pretty sure last season when they wrapped the league up pretty early on, they struggled to maintain their performance levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so, you would think though, with the Champions League and German Cup final motivation, they should be treating these games as form, effectively. It's weird that they've slacked off so much when it doesn't count, because surely it should count.
Well, they got knocked out of the cup on pens, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then last season they were battered by Real Madrid, weren't they, Marcus, in the Champions League?
They were.
After they'd wrapped up the league and not really had any sort of important games to play, which seemed to really hurt them.
Bearing in mind, Guardiola took over when they were European champions.
Yeah.
And it looks like they've been the first leg, they got battered by Barcelona. Well, I say battered. I
mean, 3-0.
What a first half that was.
Yeah.
Hey,
Pep, you don't usually talk about.
I'm going to play a back three and play man to man with Neymar, Suarez, and Messi. What was he doing?
It's like he's trying to prove too much.
He's trying to be too clever, I think. Yeah. And to be fair to him, though, Bayern Munich have had some key players out. I mean, Robin, Ribery, Alaba, they're all out. They're important players for them.
Play conservatively then.
It's not in his makeup, is it?
Well, as somebody was saying to me earlier, I think he was trying to nick a goal and then be defensive. Mm. And Lewandowski should have perhaps scored. Although Barcelona missed a hatful of chances in that game. I know we never talk about Champions League for obvious reasons, the way the show would come out on a Monday or Tuesday and then it's played, of course. But we had to give that a mention because that was just wonderful stuff.
Well, Pepe said today that he's going to be there next season. He's not, definitely not moving.
He said 200 million times.
I told you 200 million times I'm going to be there next season. Yeah.
200 million times.
Do you
times,
think he's just subtly naming a price for Man City?
Yeah.
You'd have to come up with 201 million reasons for me to go.
He's making sort of odd little hand gestures that only they understand. Lothar Matthäus, though, the former Bayern man, criticised Guardiola, saying he's lost the dressing room after rotating his team so much.
Dizzy?
Mm.
Maybe that's what their drills are, just spin around in a circle till you feel dizzy.
Dizzy stick.
Dizzy stick, lovely old job. Let's go to Italy.
Now, can we talk about Sidney Sam being fired?
Oh, of course, my giddy aunt.
There's a new sheriff in town, apparently.
Yeah, I think he just said, well, Sidney Sam's going to win the league alone.
Okay. Yeah, I think when they said he's going to be fired, he's not having his contract renewed in the office, he just picked up his files and just went, case closed.
Sidney Sam don't need a team.
Put his gun and his badge on the table.
He works alone.
Case closed. Yeah, yeah.
He'll be a private detective kind of footballer now.
That'd be good.
Just like a hired gun.
Gun for hire, yeah.
What's Kevin Prince-Boateng going to do? R&B career?
Could happen.
But I mean, they fired. Is it two players and put one on suspension?
I'm not sure if
they're under pressure. Divatea's under pressure, and they just get rid of two of their players.
I'm not sure if three of them are suspended,
and two they've cancelled their contract.
But it's really vague, isn't it? What they've done, it just said it was something like a breach of loyalty was the reason that was given. That could be absolutely anything.
But I think I'd like to see a bit more of that. It's a bit more like, I mean, it almost makes you unemployable as a footballer. Your team can't flipping stand you.
I think Kevin Prince-Boateng has long been a bit of a wrong'un. Yeah, really.
A long John wrong'un.
He's a known wrong'un.
Two things he's done that's marked him out to be a wrong'un. Missed a penalty in the cup final for Portsmouth.
Ah.
And then did that weird Michael Jackson dance at Milan.
Yeah. Bad egg.
Odd.
Bad egg.
And then was satisfied at international football when he just played in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So I'm done now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Off the bucket list.
He was, wasn't it?
Is he leaving football in solidarity to his brother who got absolutely rinsed by Messi?
Yeah.
He's actually not quit. He's just taken a season of mourning.
Oh, dear. It's such a shame because Boateng's a great defender.
Yeah. Maybe it's not even by choice, just his own DNA is just disturbed by it.
Yeah. I wouldn't like to criticise Boateng seriously for that because he did what he should have done with Messi. He showed him onto his right foot and... What else can you do? Do you know what I mean? It's Lionel Messi.
He got his answer.
Yeah. The fact that he sort of fell over very slowly.
Yeah, I don't think there's a human being on the planet that wouldn't have been rinsed by that.
Have you seen the gif that's going around of Boateng just falling into a hole?
That's what I've seen. Yeah.
The fact that Neuer's got a big old reach on him and he still can't get all of it. Oh,
yeah.
You do hear about boxers having their career ended by particularly concussive knockouts and stuff like that. They were never the same afterwards. I wonder if it was the same for Boateng. It's a career-ending fucking skinning.
He just sits in the goal forever.
Yeah.
Well, Maicon's still getting over Bale.
It's true, he is, yeah.
My goodness. In Italy, Lazio lost to Inter 2-1. Hernanes scored both goals. Of course, he's now an Inter player, but used to be a Lazio player. Scored both goals. The game was played in Rome, at home for Lazio. So Hernanes came out after and apologised for celebrating against his former team. Mm-hmm. He said, I want to apologise. Now, we often talk about players not apologising against their former sides.
Not celebrating.
Not celebrating, sorry, against their former sides and so on. And he did certainly celebrate quite over-elaborately. Mm. And it was at Lazio. It wasn't like it was in Milan when they were playing at home. This was away to the side who were very good to him and he had a good rapport with the fans and so on. So he said, I want to apologise to all the Lazio fans because if I'd have known beforehand that my somersault would be interpreted as a lack of respect for you, I would never have done it.
We had someone on Twitter, James, got in touch with us on Twitter, quoting Hernanes as saying...
Yeah, well, he went on to say, if you look closely, I didn't celebrate when I scored against you in San Siro. Well, well done.
Yeah.
So you didn't... I mean, that would have been justifiable. Then he said, I didn't celebrate when I scored the second goal yesterday and even the somersault was a sad somersault without any joy.
Yeah, James, you got in touch on Twitter, quoted Hernandez as saying it was the saddest backflip of my career.
A disrespectful somersault.
Do it out of pure just
how
habit.
There is no one on this planet who can somersault sadly. It is an extremely joyous act.
Yeah. Sidney Sam's sad somersault.
I think when Jerome Boateng, in happier times, scored against Man City in the Champions League, he ran in front of the bench and did a massive leap and fist pump in front of the bench. that was completely.
But I mean, yeah. There's no, unless you were a, you know, to sound a little bit unnecessary political, you know, an athlete in the Soviet Union, that might be a sad somersault or something like that. Yeah, you know, yeah. You're sort of forced. But there's no, it's no nonsense. Exactly. Oh dear. A lovely story from Italy that came out recently, which some of you may have seen, was Coa Bosco, a team way down Lou in the Italian football tier. A team made up entirely of African immigrants have won promotion to the bottom tier of the Italian league system.
A rare positive Italian-based African immigrant story of this year.
Well,
Jesus
absolutely.
Possibly the only one.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I thought that was worth mentioning, you know, in light of recent events and so on. I mean, the team was formed in 2013 by a Catholic priest and is managed by, I think it's local Italians. And a number of players, they live in tents and adapted shipping containers at a government-run camp. So amazing story to get into the Italian league system. So great stuff there. Hopefully, can shoot up the leagues a la Wimbledon back in the day.
Pete's game.
It is time for Pete's Mystery Voice game, and I've got a bit of an apology, mate, because last week I said that three people got the answer.
Is this Ilum Sphere again?
No, it's not Ilum Sphere again. Three people got it right, but I neglected to mention who those people were. So congratulations to Andrew Slater, Alexandru Mercor, and Brendan Bate as well.
Just to get this right, we do a weekly competition.
Last week, Brendan Barte, actually.
Three people won it. You didn't say the winners' names, and none of us noticed.
Yeah, but no, exactly. So, I mean,
that's how much we switch on. When you do this.
It's a tight ship.
You're only as good as your producers, aren't you?
Yeah. So. What a tight ship around here.
This week, this was last week's noise.
Alan was coaching on his own when the manager came in, and
a lot of people got involved, and precisely six people got it right.
Was it an election special?
No, it wasn't related to the election. Okay. It was the answer was the dulcet Charlie tones of David Rhino Unsworth.
Oh, nice. Just had his record for most goals scored in the Premier League by a defender taken by John Terry. I imagine this will be salve to his wound.
Congratulations to Paul Barrett, Neil Gaskell, Stephen Scott, Warren Doyle and Joe Bird for getting involved. You all got it right. Dan Brunskill, you got it right first. So well done. Yo. All on the same day as well, May the 6th.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
May the 6th be with you.
Revenge of the 6th.
What have we got now then, Peetles?
What do you mean, what have we got
this
now,
week's
Peter?
Mystery
oh,
voice.
This week's. Oh, yeah, this. Yeah, God, this week's. There's a lot of admin to get through Pete's Mystery Voice game this week.
Stepping up to the role of producer there, as well as anchorman.
It's this.
I'm Pamon. Misha Wasai.
If you know who that is, voice@thefootballramble.com. And, you know, just write it in the subject line. Make it easy for me, don't misspell it, and then you can't be crybabies if you get it wrong.
If you're really lucky and get it right, Pete won't read your name.
Yeah. He may or may not say read your name if you get it wrong.
Meet him halfway, and he won't turn up.
Everyone's friend of the ramble.
All right, shall we have a website roundup?
Yes, it's time for the always excellent Kelly Wells' slot, done by proxy by me. On the website this week...
proxy.
Lionel Messi's greatest achievement in football to date with an assist from Mark Lawrenson. Exclusive coverage of Nigel Pearson's PR advice to John Carver and family. Mm. And... last but by no means least, the story that allowed Kelly to legitimately and accurately use the following office quote as a headline. You headbutt a girl and you're labelled a prat. And that's the game. So make sure you check that out at thefootballramble.com.
Show some highlights of the week. I think we shall.
Yeah, can you feel for a bit? Because I've got to go into another part of my phone.
Shall I give you my highlight of the week?
Please.
I played for a football team called Perfidious Album and we got a, what Luke would probably call a shellacking.
Yeah.
Easily, north of 10-0.
It was 13-0.
Well, I don't know.
You told us earlier it was 13-0.
I said it was 13-0. People reckoned it was wasn't even that high. It certainly felt like a 13-0 to me.
It was that bad that you lost count.
Yeah, I went in goal first half, let in three.
Not a good half.
Either way, so it all finishes, and one of the opposing players comes up to me and goes, and shakes my hand, as you do, and he goes, love the ramble, which really does.
Did you tell him to F off?
Hit it home. there goes your chance of anonymity around that football game.
Exactly. Could have got away with it if it wasn't for you pesky oppositions.
Now it's time for the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Thanks for filling in for me, Pete. Appreciate it. This is from Joe Gleeser, first up. We touched on it a little bit earlier. So, Joey Barton saying there are bad eggs in the dressing room without a trace of sarcasm in his voice. Obviously, I'm aware of the irony there. Sam Waller, so this is a good one. He says, my highlight of the week is the best man's speech at my mate Rob's wedding, who is a huge Newcastle fan. At the end, messages from friends who couldn't make the big day were played, ending with a surprise video from one Peter Beardsley.
Wow.
Rob's all-time favourite footballer.
Subtitled.
Apparently, upon being contacted to do a short clip for the happy couple, Peter asked for some extra info so he could personalise his message. Cue a five-minute speech calling him out for being rubbish in the air for a big man, but praising his left-footedness and declaring that he could have a chance in the modern game despite being 29. A truly lovely gesture from a real gentleman of the game.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Peter Beardsley. The stories we get on this show about Peter Beardsley are always great. What else have we got here? Ewan Kelly's got a fantastic big shop update. I mean, I'll caveat it by questioning whether it's true or not, but it's getting in there anyway because it made me laugh. He said, my dad was spending his Sunday the same way any self-respecting man does, executing a fine big shop for the week. While selecting a loaf, a staple of any big shop, he heard the following conversation from the other side of the aisle. Mum, this is boring. Can we get a move on? I want to go home. Mum, shut up, Sean, or I won't iron your tracksuit for court tomorrow. Needless to say, my dad set a PB running the length of the baked goods section to see who delivered such a line, only to be aghast to find out that Sean was about 25 years old. And finally, we got a rare show without a mention of Louis van Gaal. I'm going to change that. Mark Ridley says Louis van Gaal's clipboard showing a picture of a bottle of red wine. Did you see that?
I did see that. That's wonderful.
But I think that might be because the team sheet was sponsored by a red wine.
It very much looked like an order sheet for a swanky.
Oh well, maybe it's a program,
vintage kind of thing. Yeah,
was it a program or something? It looked funny anyway. Okay. Yeah, it looked funny.
There was whatever it was. Yeah. There was a bottle of wine involved.
Yeah. Whatever it was, he'll have a bottle of red wine. No less than any other Manchester United manager. Let's not
no less.
Keeping up the tradition.
Exactly.
Seems to be the only tradition.
Red wine devils.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe it's Ferguson's own brew.
The theatre of grapes.
Ferguson's home brew.
imagine what that's like.
Oh, dearie me. What's happening on Absolute Radio this weekend?
Oh, loads of stuff. In the Barclays Premier League, there's going to be a bit of football happening, and I do believe we've got Sunderland going to be doing a little bit of football. I can't remember who they're playing. Does anyone know who Sunderland are playing this weekend?
Are you commentating on that? Are you just
going to go,
this is rubbish.
It's Sunderland versus Leicester.
Last time I criticised the pick of a Sunderland game, it was the greatest game of all time.
Exactly, so the greatest game of all time will be kicking off at 3 o'clock this Saturday afternoon.
There you are. If you want to get in touch with us, the email is show@thefootballramble.com, the Twitter is @footballramble, and of course the website where the always excellent Kelly Wells operates is thefootballramble.com.
It is.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Lucals.
Go fuck yourselves.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Unnecessary, but goodbye.
Yeah, and one of them from me.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.